Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode. I am Michael Petro, and on the show this week, we got a real talk for you. Me and Martin finally sit down to do a mano-a-mano episode. What are we talking about this week? We're talking about who we crushed on in the early 90s. Who were we loving? Who are we hoping would show up one day? Be like, yes, Martin. Yes, Michael, you can come to prom with me. Who got our hearts all pounding? Who got our juices going? That's what we start off with. We also have for you the Mount Rushmore of sci-fi. If you could take four movie characters and put them on a, engrave them in stone forever and a day, who would they be and why? Plus a lengthy conversation about the drama that's going down over at Warner Brothers Discovery, Warner Brothers, I don't know. All I know is some dickhead's coming in and he's chopping everything up and not letting it see the light of day. And I, for one, wanted to see Batgirl. I think the Scoob story is absolutely atrocious. If you don't know this, ladies and gentlemen, in short, a lot of stuff got cut from this new merger of Discovery and Warner Brothers. And it's time we had more conversations about this because there are people who made these things, not just the talent, but like the behind the scenes people, the professionals who help put all this shit on screen for us. They never get to have their work see the light of day. So that's what we end the show with. I have no housekeeping for you this week. No upcoming live events or anything like that. We do have some stuff in the pipe that me, Charles, and Jimmy are planning for you. So stick around. Listen to the end credit trailer and how you, too, can join the Debaterverse if this is your first time. It's really easy. Just subscribe to one of our social media pages and you're in the know. The rest of the stuff, that's all bone ass area. So, yeah, that's who's on the show. That's what's on the show. I have nothing else for you this week. So, ladies and gentlemen, I will cue that reel and you enjoy the show.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody, to the official space section of the charter.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Sir, you're out of order.
Out of order, I show
Ladies
you out of order!
Hello! Hello, Martin, how you doing?
Good. You're very loud today.
Am I loud? I'm excited. We haven't recorded.
Very loud.
We haven't recorded in weeks. Fucking the summertime just gets...
Oh, I know. Summertime is just busy. People got stuff to do. It's sunny. We're not have to be trapped indoors.
You went and did a festival, and I want to hear about it before we go into fake land, because the shit that goes down on Shambhala, I have heard, is insane. How was your time?
It's actually pronounced Shambhala.
Oh,
Michael.
Fuck you.
Just saying. It's actually how you pronounce it. It's not a sham.
All right. First timer. Tell me what Shambhala is all about.
Oh, it's fun. It's just like, I mean, it feels, it's a very... Like, I've been to other festivals like Coachella, Lollapalooza, mm-hmm. Oshiaga, things like that. But I feel like it's just a different episode, a different kind of environment because, you know, it's a dry festival. They don't allow booze or sell booze on the premises.
Really?
Yeah. But you can sneak stuff in.
Which you didn't do.
And then I didn't drink. But I'm just saying, like, you don't have to drink, but you can do, like, pretty much all the drugs at the festival. And they won't care. Like, if they search your bag, you're like, oh, I have, like, you know, a baggie of mushrooms and, like, a couple hits of acid. They're not going to confiscate that.
if you have
a whole backpack full of mushrooms and then lots of sheets full of acid, then you're, like, you know, you're distributing, right? So they're like, then we'll report you to the authorities. So you got to, if you're selling there, you want to hide it. But if you're kind of just... You know, if it's just for you, they won't confiscate that. And I'm saying any drug. Maybe not PCP. I don't know if there was a lot of guys on PCP at this festival.
Peyote?
Probably. There were a lot of people on mushrooms for sure.
Mescaline?
Acid was a common one.
No mescaline?
I don't know if there's not really a lot of mescaline. It's mostly a lot of acid, mushrooms.
Ether.
Weed was...
Every drug I'm throwing at you, I'm just pulling from Fear and Loathing.
MDMA, probably. There was cocaine. Obviously.
What? Like, is it?
Oh, did you know about cocaine? There's flavored cocaine now.
Shut up.
I don't know if we can talk about this, but there legit is flavored cocaine. And I may or may not have stumbled upon some at the festival. but it was pina colada flavored.
Shut up. Okay. How does this work?
I don't know. It's apparently a new thing, and I'm getting excited talking about cocaine. This is gonna be an interesting one. I don't know how it works. It just, when you get the drips, it doesn't taste like gasoline. It tastes like pina colada. Although it still tastes, you can still taste a little bit of the chemical. It doesn't taste exactly like 100% pina colada. But, you know, like when you buy weed, an edible with like a chocolate weed edible, You can taste the weed.
Yes.
That's like what this is. Like, it's a pina colada, but you can still taste a little bit of it, but it's way easier. They burnt out a lot of the impurities, and it's weird. I'm just going to say it's weird. They sold out on day one of a lot of things. I'm just going to say that. I'm not going to say who, but a nice young man looking like a hippie sold out of his stuff in one day.
What did he like walk around with a shirt on being like, I'm out of stock? Like,
well, in Shambhala. What they do is like, so you stay in campsites, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the festival is just within walking distance. It's like a private ranch. So you're staying in campsites, and then people will just walk saying, I have this, I have this, I have this. Does anybody need? And then if you need, you just say, hey, I need that.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
I love the threshold that you were talking about where it's like, oh, 6 hits of acid. Yeah, have a good time. 20 hits of acid, buddy, stop selling. Like,
yeah,
like
that's what it is.
You know, and like you obviously, because with festivals like that now, I hear that there's, because like with Folk Fest, they have the red tent, which is like, hey, listen, if you're having a hard time or you don't want to do a drug and you bought it and you're like, hey, let's go get, like, you can get your drugs tested at these festivals.
Oh, yeah, you
can
get
it
tested
right?
here too, easily. Yeah,
which,
everyone.
Like, you can't beat the system, so you might as well make the system as safe as possible. Is that kind of the idea behind that sort of thinking?
Well, it's just a different – it's a different vibe when you throw alcohol in the mix. Anytime you throw alcohol in the mix, it's a way different vibe. And I say – this is why I say it's one of the most unique festivals. It's one of the nicest festivals, like, in terms of people that I've ever been to.
Really?
I think out of all the time, like, there was 15,000 people the entire weekend.
Wow.
No fights. Like, no fights.
Yeah, if you find like the right
just
vibe,
hugs, just hugs. No fights, just hugs. Everyone was asking to hug everybody at the festival. It was awesome because no one's been to the festival in like 3 years, right? And this has been going on for about 20 something years.
Sure. Yeah.
So it was just like everyone was just hugging, and everyone was on MDMA, and it felt great, and it was a good time. Like, it's great festival, I gotta say. But it's, you know, music is 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Like, that's when the music shuts off. So. Yeah, it was pretty rough. One of the first night I went till 5:30 a.m. on the first night, and that walk of shame back home to the campsite was brutal.
How far is that walk?
Ours was about like maybe a 15-minute walk from where the festival grounds are.
Okay,
so
that's
like
not
1K, 2K. I remember.
And like festival goes to what, like two? This probably doesn't stop. I would imagine like it's a 24 hour.
6 a.m. to 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Oh.
6 p.m. to 6 a.m., sorry, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Okay, so there's no daytime stuff? It's just all nighttime shit?
Yeah, usually daytime people get so hot that there's like a river by where in the property that people just soak in, and it feels great. Like, it's ice cold river. It's like it was plus 30. The river's ice cold. You go in for a dip if you're too hot. Feels great.
I have to ask you, what was your favorite performance before we move into fake world?
I can't remember what her name was, but it was definitely the one that I saw at 5 a.m. And this is like, I got to go to bed, but I'm glad I stayed up. She was like, she was a violinist, and she was doing like a bunch of stuff to drum and bass music. So she was playing the violin along.
Really?
It's a lot of electronic beats. It was pretty cool.
Obviously you're going to go again. I mean, the first time that kind of experience just.
Yeah. I don't know about next year, but maybe in a couple years from now, I probably will go again with the same group of people. Cause it's all Winnipeg people that I met there.
Really?
Pretty much Winnipeg people. Yeah. There was about 20 of us, I think, in our group.
So
it's all people I know from Winnipeg.
Who from out here went?
Oh, no one. I don't think anyone, you know,
no,
people
anyone,
like,
okay.
That I knew from work in the rave scene back in the day. So
back in, you still hanging, you still got contacts in the rave scene?
Back in the day.
Did you wear big, stupid ravey pants?
No, like, I wore like clothes I didn't care about, because I think next year I'll dress up more, because you see a lot of really cool people with cool costumes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of very nature-inspired ones, like mushroom-inspired outfits and stuff like that. There was a guy dressed up as Forrest Gump when he was running, and he was just running throughout the whole festival, and everyone just yelled, run, Forrest, run, when he saw him. And I never saw him not run. Like, I don't know what he was doing, but this guy was like,
This guy was pretty good.
Running. Oh yeah, he was nonstop running. He had the full beard, the red hat, the yellow t-shirt, the shoes, and the high socks, and he was just running the whole time.
That's amazing.
So funny.
Yeah, no, Folk Fest here this year was like you really couldn't tell that 2 years had gone by and a pandemic had interrupted their rhythm. And like, you being a first time there, like, obviously, like, super, like, this isn't like a train wrecked Woodstock 99 kind of festival. Like, this is well done. They know what they're doing kind of
event.
They've
been doing it for 20 years. They know what they're doing.
Okay. All right. How much are tickets like for something like that?
They weren't too pricey. I got early bird general admission.
Okay.
For like, I think 400 in total.
That's not bad,
which
man.
Which is pretty cheap for a music festival, for a 3-day music festival.
And
like, that includes your camping and free parking.
What was the campsite party atmosphere like?
You know what? Not too crazy, because I mean, a lot of us were really older, and I think a lot of the times it was too hot to like really, you know, go crazy during the daytime. So daytime, I just slept or stayed by the water. And I'll say this, clothing is very optional at Shambhala. So there's a lot of naked people walking around. A lot of beautiful naked people walking around too, I must say.
All you beautiful naked people, thanks for making
walking
Martin's
around,
first Shambhala.
Doing God's work.
Doing God. Well, I haven't really done much of anything since we last kind of sat down and got on the microphones here. It's been a minute, like we said, because of summer and shit like that. So don't expect much of a schedule of continuity of us until probably more like September, October, because all of us have been waiting to get out and have a good fucking life. Not just a good time, a good fucking life. So that's that. So without further ado, you wanna step off and go into our favorite world?
Down the rabbit hole we go, I guess.
All right, let's do it. So ladies and gentlemen, it's just as you could tell, it's just the two of us for the first time in like 160 some odd episodes. We're like, maybe, you know, we should do an episode just the two of us.
We can make it if we try.
Just the
Bill
two
Withers?
Of us.
Bill Withers, right?
Bill Withers, you got it, buddy. So that's what this is today, ladies and gentlemen. It's a myriad of everything. We're gonna talk about what we watched. We've got some questions we're gonna answer. We've got some, I guess I've got some grievances I want to air. I don't know how you feel about the Warner Brothers bullshit, but by this point, I hope something has been figured out by the time this
Michael, let's
airs.
Pretend I know nothing about it when you're explaining it.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Yeah, let's do that. That's
surprise me. Surprise me. Because okay. I had all the notes on my phone. I was going to read it before, but I'm using my phone to record.
That's
for
true.
For our Instagram post and our TikTok post. So.
All right. Let this be the theme then.
Pretend I don't know anything.
All right. I don't know that we usually do that with me, but okay, let's try that. fair enough. So, all right. So you and me both watched a lot of the same shit. So let's just ping pong with that for a minute and start with the awesomeness that is Prey. What were your thoughts?
Ooh, I thought it was like, other than the original one, this was my favorite Predator.
Oh God, it was so
movie.
Good.
I would say it was so cool. And the acting was really good. The cast was amazing. I can't remember what her name was. The lead female.
Yeah, I'll bring it up here.
She was in, I was like, I recognize her. Where's she from? And she was from Legion, which is also another
DC great show, right?
No, that's Marvel. That's X-Men.
Sorry, Marvel. Yeah, X-Men, that's Legion, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
She was the FX production of Legion, which is also a great show, and she was great in that as well.
Her name is details. Thank you, Disney Plus. Amber Midthunder.
Yeah, she's great.
She's so great,
and she's like, I believe I heard she was Cherokee as well. Cherokee.
Yeah, I think she's got. Why well, I saw a really cool clip.
I'm pretty sure she's Cherokee. That's yeah. What I remember seeing that on a new or interview or something like that. So,
and
yeah, like legit good casting. And I just thought it was so cool. Like they went back to it. Like they went back to the roots of Predator. Predator roots. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like ghetto Predator.
Like back in like, the day, Predator.
Yeah, hobo Predator. But he still had the cloaking device. So, but. What I mean, like he didn't have the plasma cannon.
Yeah, right.
Didn't have the disc.
Had
a better spear. I don't know why they upgraded to that new spear. This spear that they have was way better.
Yeah, new hotness, old and busted. Right, like what were they thinking? I like the bone shield on his
bone
head.
Helm.
The bone helm. Yeah, that was it was very interesting because when you think about everything we know about Predator, it's like they've been here forever. Well, who were the first ones they encountered, and like. Encountering us now, like we're such dumb humans that they would just slaughter us, but at some point they'd have to find their equal, and going through time and finding different groups of warriors from different cultures is so fucking smart. Like you can do this forever. You can do this against the Romans. You can do this.
Dude, I was wanting to see the Predator versus the Japanese,
right?
Japan,
the samurai, the
Edo period,
right?
Samurai. Yeah,
oh God. Oh my God. Right. Like you can do Prey all over the world and just do this really crazy world warrior culture celebration and you won't ever run
out
of
that's what I
want to
see because they hinted a lot of samurai stuff in the later movies. I think they hinted that they went back during samurai periods.
Are you
I
talking
the
about
one with the one where with Adrian Brody when they captured people?
Yes,
predators,
yes, yeah,
they hinted that the guy had like a samurai, like there's a he, predators that faced a samurai before
the guy so. It was the Yakuza guy. That they
captured.
He was
the one.
He was the one who says, "Oh my, yeah." And his culture, yes,
he finds
totally.
He finds the sword in Morgan Freeman's ship.
Yes. Oh, fuck. The whole thing was, and like the nods to the old shit, like when the Predator comes out of the mud after he falls in, spoiler alert, and it's like identical to Schwarzenegger in the first one when he was covered in mud.
It was great. It was great. There's lots of like cool nods, and look, I what I loved about it too was the fight sequences were amazing. Like when they first encounter the Predator, and then he kills like the two of her friends who are with her, just slaughters them.
Yeah.
they put up a good fight, but just like those fight sequences are so cool.
Even
with the arrows and how accurate they were with the arrows, like shooting, I was like, what's going on?
There's that one fight scene in the end when her brother comes back to finish business, and he shoots Predator with an arrow and then jumps off him, pulls that same arrow out, comes around the other side, shoots him back. You're just like, okay, this, like, I
that was Lord of the Rings. That was Legolas.
So Legolas.
To do that?
Yes.
Like, what's going on here?
That's my kill. But, and then just like the integrate, like, did you see the duality between her becoming, like, her getting her chance to fight? And the Predator choosing the strongest prey, and it was her in the end. Like, there's just so much cool shit there that shines on both sides of the sci-fi angle and the indigenous angle.
I always loved, I saw that, and what I loved about it too is just the fact that I like in Predator movies, I love the process of them figuring out how to beat Predator or what Predator is.
Yeah.
When she's just like, well, I'm not armed, so I'm not a threat. So that's why she's like telling people not to pick shit up, like, don't pick up the weapon.
Yes.
Stuff like that. And it's like, how do I beat them? And then he sees through, you know, he sees through heat. So then you put the mud on yourself and you camouflage and shit like that. So yes, things like that. Just like the way figuring out how to beat Predator. I think that's one of my most favorite parts of the movie is.
Did you catch the the pistol reference?
Oh, that was from Predator 2, right? Danny Glover got that pistol?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
Like that kind of stuff, and the director, like, Trachtenberg, I think, or Derek something or other. Sorry, dude. He's like, I really love sci-fi period pieces, and I think that's such a genre that has been they've attempted. You know, like, what was the
Cowboys
one?
Versus Aliens?
Cowboys versus Aliens, which is
a great movie.
It's well,
you didn't like it? I loved it. I thought that was great.
Hang on, I loved the fun time that I had with it, but Harrison Ford. I don't know. I feel misplaced.
Daniel Craig
was awesome, but I think those first attempts at that genre, like, keep going with it, right? Like, start pumping more shit into it, because I could watch Prey all fucking day. And did you like how they did the when they did the really violent kill shots that they could get away with it? They just put his camouflage in front of it so it blurred it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Like, it was almost like, I know I can't show this, and the NCAA is going to be like, nope, you cannot get away with a whatever rating, even though it's streaming. They blurred it so that you didn't have to watch the grotesque. Or like the skull shot when he rips it out of the wolf. Like, just so many fucking throwbacks.
I like how that's one thing I like too is in this one, you really see like the primitive part, because like I think he's like still figuring out who the top of the list is, and then he starts with animals.
Yeah.
He starts with the bear, the wolves, and the lion and stuff like that. And then it goes all the way up.
And yeah, for as advanced as they are, they're primitive because they're like, I guess the most dominant species is this Kodiak.
Yeah. It was just funny. I thought it was cool. It was a good movie. I recommend it to anyone who hasn't seen it. Definitely. It's on Disney Plus streaming.
Yeah. Get on that shit. He's right.
Yeah.
Everybody.
I think Hulu as well. It's streaming on Hulu.
I don't know how it all works on Disney, but we keep getting all the good stuff that is on Hulu. That is on.
Because you don't have Hulu in Canada, right?
No, we don't have Hulu in Canada at all. And I think what they do is they allow for it to air first on their streaming network, and then Disney just chops it up, and it's like, okay. Because The Bear, which is the new show on Disney Plus, which is from FX. Like, it's a Fox branch on their streaming site, and it's got Lip from Shameless, Jeremy Allen White, and it's a show about what the fuck's his position? He's a chef. He's a 3-star Michelin chef, and he loses his business, and then he ends up going to help out his family's, like, greasy spoon, and he tries to take his greasy spoon and elevate it to Michelin status. And like that's getting fucking great reviews. Mark watched it, says if you've ever worked in a restaurant, you'll love it. And it's already on Disney Plus. So I think
I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, like us Canadians, we really get the like we don't like they just put Deadpool and Logan on Disney Plus last month for the Americans. We've had it since
Since it first came out.
Yeah.
Or Disney Plus first came out. We had a long time.
No
shit. I don't know how long, but yeah, it's been around.
In the world of Prey, back to our point here. In the world of Prey, where do you rank this? You said it was your favorite. Is it honestly out of all, like, take a minute. Is it like the AVP stuff? Does it outrank that? The Predators with Adrian Brody?
I think it's I want to say it's the best one, but I mean, I still love the Arnold one, the original.
Yeah.
One, but I must say, like, in terms of movie wise, this is probably the best one.
Well, and this one has such depth where, like, the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It was campy, though. That was what it was back in the day. It was kind of like a joke movie, but, like, let's just create this, and then it became a hit.
Yeah, so, over and over again.
Yeah, and it was campy, and that's what that style was. But this one, I think, as a movie itself, I think this is probably the better one out of all of them, the best one.
Because I tend to agree with you here, but I just want to make sure I exhaust all my options before I commit to something. Is that because it's so new? Is that because it's revitalizing the whole series?
I think it's, I don't know if it's new, but I just feel like this is a well-done movie. Not just a Predator movie, it's just a well-done movie. There have been well-done Predator movies, which the original Predator was. Like, that was a well-done Predator movie. This one is just, I think it's a good movie to see.
I got to go for a horseback ride in the valley where they filmed the first one.
Oh, that's nice.
Like, I didn't know where Schwarzenegger was doing
in Mexico, right?
In PV, Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, apparently when they came there too, like, the whole town was just like, Arnold. Well, not like that, but, you know, like, they just, like, lost their shit and all got involved and stuff. And, yeah.
How would you not?
Yeah. I really wanted big muscles for a minute just so I could do the thing he does with Carl Weathers.
Oh yeah, the like the high five, the
pushing
the
pencils handshake. There.
Yeah.
Okay, out of 10, how many like acid sprayed skulls that you would clip on your belt buckle out of 10 do you give it?
I'd say like maybe close to an 8, if not an 8. Like 7 point something.
Yeah.
8.
Let's just round. Let's give it an 8. Yeah, we're men. Let's round up.
I give it an 8. Yeah. I give it an 8.
And it's.
How would you?
I would give it an 8 too. I thought it was smart. I loved how they transitioned from, pardon, which I don't know which language, but I love how they transferred from an indigenous language to English.
To French.
But then to French.
Oh, like, yeah.
You know how they like everybody understood each other and you always knew what was going on, but you didn't get the French subtitles, which was fun because it showed you how the indigenous couldn't, like, you can't communicate with them, so you felt their friction, which was neat. But I love how you speak in a language and then eventually you just fuse that language out because now we know that they all understand each other and know what to do. So yeah, no, I thought it was cool. And like the sibling rivalry and her wanting to prove herself and be a warrior, like the scene where all the women get up really early in the morning and they walk out to do their job and she's like, fuck it, I'm walking the other way. And
yeah, I'm going to fucking use my hatchet.
Yeah, yeah, my hatchet that I put a rope on that I turned into this badass fucking weapon. And, like, the training sequences, those were so fun. Like, he knew what cheesy 80s shit to put in and then what new hotness to put on top of it to make me and you just salivate and be like, give us more. Give us Japanese Predator. Give us
spicy meatball, Mike. It's a spicy meatball.
All right, cool. So, all right, so you've seen all, you killed it. I killed a different thing, which we'll talk about after because it's also brand new to Netflix. But you put a weekend into The Sandman, correct?
I finished it, yes. I finished season one. About a week, not a weekend, but it took me about a week. I watched maybe a couple episodes a night.
All right.
And then just finished it off.
So for listener out there, this is definitely spoiler packed because this is brand new. And depending on how you watch, if you're one of those people who's like one a night, like I've been turned into, I used to be one of those fucking let's kill this thing. And Sean is like, we don't need to do it all tonight. Let's do a couple shows. And I'm like, all right, fine. So we're only on the
but who knows what tomorrow will bring. That's why you gotta do it all at once.
I know. I was a fat kid. I get it, man. You don't have to convince me. But like I just
what if Netflix goes down tomorrow and that's it?
You can't
watch Sandman anymore, Mike.
You know what? Disney just outpaced Netflix for the amount of subscribers that they have, so that's very plausible now.
I mean, we're gonna be missing shows like The Sandman. I would just watch it all.
I know. So, all right. So you've seen it all. We've started like one or two episodes at this point, at the time of recording.
What do you think so far? I gotta see what you think so far.
Okay. Neil Gaiman came on.
Wait, you and Sean are watching it together?
We are watching it together. Yeah. Okay. I was like, look, there's a talking crow. You'll like it. Like it's kooky, right?
And it's Patton Oswalt
is the talking crow. But I said to her, I was like, okay, this is my pitch. I said, you dream. And she's fucking wicked at lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
She'll wake up and she'll have a screenplay ready to fucking go. And I'm like,
did she watch American Gods?
Yes, exactly.
It's the same guy who does it. American
exactly.
Gods.
Yeah. This is how it all happened. So I got her on American Gods because it was old gods and new time. And she fell for Sweeney, the big fucking leprechaun, Pablo Shriver, to be exact.
Yeah.
And she just, I had to watch her get wet while she was watching it. Cause I was like, fuck, I'm going to dye my hair red. But anyway, so that was that. Then I said to her, I was like, remember American Gods? Same guy, different story. But this one's all about dreams and nightmares and breaking worlds and gods. And she was like, I'm in. So we watched the first episode. I think it's like, fuck you, Game of Thrones. We can do this too. I think it's so on par with good fantasy. Obviously there was reasons why he turned three other networks down when they tried to make it in the past 40 fucking years. It's so good because it is so just deeply rooted in, it's just so hard sci-fi, hard fantasy, sorry.
Oh yeah. It's, well, both of you thought this, like what did Shauna?
Oh, Shauna hates Dream. She thinks his face needs to be punched. She's just angry at him. And I was like, wait, you need to understand where this is going because he's been entombed for 100 fucking years. He's angry and the dream world has basically escaped into the real world with all the nightmares. That's my understanding of it. And he's back to like basically get it back to the way it once was. And now he's got all this shit in the way. That being said, though, she likes where it's going. She knows nothing. Like, she hasn't done the deep dive that I did to kind of get caught up and be like, okay, who's who? Why is Gwendolyn Christie here? Why is Charles Dance here? Like, who are these people? But we're both like, we're really happy to have a show again that we can sink our teeth into that we don't know much about.
It's good. And, I mean, one thing that I love about it is the casting. And if you look at who Dream Morpheus is
Tom
in
Sturgeon?
The comic,
yeah.
Yeah, it looks like him in the comic.
Yes.
It's like, that looks like Dream. That looks like Dream. And I love the first episode because Charles Dance is like kind of an amazing kind of villain to play in the first episode, which is nice.
Okay, so my understanding is that the first episode was completely to set everybody who didn't know any, like they did such a good job of making me go, I haven't read the comics, but now I really know what the fuck is up. Is that a good representation of it?
I'll say this about the first season. It's pretty spot on with the comics. There's not really much difference. I think there's stuff that's left out for time's purposes, but it's pretty like there's not much deviation from the comic, which is great. It's because the comic's a great story in itself.
Yeah, no, I don't know much beyond what just the plot loops of it. Where now am I to understand that now that
what happened in episode two? Did you guys watch episode two?
No, we haven't. We started and then one? Yeah, we just did episode one. So, okay. But I also know that David Thewlis's character is coming, which is Charles Dance's son.
It's one of my favorite characters in the show.
So what ends up happening from here? Like, give me like an abridged view of like, is the whole point to make the waking realm safe again? And because humans are completely oblivious to the fact that dreams and nightmares are all around them at all given times because...
Well, yeah, like I think the important thing you have to know now is Dream has to get his tools because that's what makes him more like his powers in there. So without those, he's not as powerful. So I think that's the immediate plot is how do I get my tools? Where are they? And what do I have to do to get them? That's going to be the next big arc in the season.
And Thelwis's character has the ruby, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like, he kind of goes a little insane with Dream's powers.
Yeah, he breaks down, so he has the ruby, or I guess he knows where it is, but you'll see why and what happens to... There's, like, a really one episode that's dedicated to Thelwis's character, and it's just... It's like, I love it because it takes place on one set, and it just goes out of control. Like, it goes out of control. You're like, where is this going? And then all of a sudden, what the fuck just happened? It's like one of those moments.
Well, and like when you say Neil Gaiman, everybody's like, oh, the novelist. You're like, no. The amazing graphic novel writer, too. Like,
yeah.
The guy can't fucking touch something with a pen and it not turn to, you know, platinum readership and globally loved. And
he's got a lot to do with it, too. I mean, he had his hands on this project, which is great, so.
Well, yeah, because I always like reading How the Sausage Got Made, and they're like, he turned down so many offers and so much money because it just didn't have the right zhuzh. And now that he said yes to Netflix, I wonder if they were like, however much money it takes to make this look as close to what you want it to look like as possible, it must have been the pitch. Because if he's constantly saying no, he has to get whatever he wants to make this.
He's got like carte blanche with Netflix, basically.
Yeah, yeah. $200 million. Unlike The Flash, and doing insanely well. How's Gwendolyn Christie? I can't wait for her to show up as Lucifer.
She's great. The hell, like, I guess, spoiler alert, they go to hell.
Yeah. Why do they?
Because one of his pieces is there.
Okay.
So he has to go there to get it back. And you get to see the way they did hell is so amazing. The sets, the visuals of it it's one of my, and I think that was my favorite episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Of the entire, I think it's episode 3 or 4 is when they go to hell. I can't remember, but yeah, she's great as Lucifer. And Lucifer in the comics is very, a bit masculine, but you're not sure. Like, it's kind of masculine on the feminine side. Very pretty, very tall, blonde hair, white.
She feels androgynous to me. Like, it doesn't matter. You can't,
yeah, it doesn't
really
matter.
Get
she's
a
great
fit.
As Lucifer.
Yeah.
She's great as Lucifer Morningstar. And that's why I'm like, it's different from what they, because I think this Lucifer has, what is it? What is that one where Lucifer goes to LA and opens a bar or sets up a bar?
Lucifer the show?
Yeah, Lucifer the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's connected to Sandman. There's a lot of connection with that in Sandman, I think, because I think that show is based off of Gaiman's portrayal of Lucifer.
Yeah, Gaiman let AMC touch Lucifer, but wouldn't let really a lot of the show reference the graphic novel because, again, he didn't want it to get fucking botched. I did hear something, but that's cool. Like, yeah. So did they reference that show then in this so far?
I don't remember if they did. I don't think they do. I think they just make play it of its own, because this is like it's a very different Lucifer in looks. I mean, the Lucifer in the show has black hair,
yeah, yeah,
and it's very male. This one you kind of like, it's very andro, you can't tell if it's male or female, but there is like a masculine presence, but very pretty masculine presence with Gwendolyn Christie. So
yeah, like what you'd say about me, right? Pretty masculine presence. Okay, how many dreams out of 10 would you give it now that you've seen it all?
Oh man, I don't even know. Like, I think maybe at least a 9.
Yeah,
at the very least a 9. That's minimum. You can go higher, but it's really good. Like, a great first season. And when you meet the other characters, the other characters are some of my favorite ones.
I'm looking very forward to who Boy.
I meet a nice character in episode 2.
You do?
A very nice character. Yes, a very familiar but different character.
Okay. Okay.
It's a little bit of the same but different, as you say it in what was that? The Dictator, or The Interview? The Interview.
The Interview. Oh, I never same, saw. Same, I never but, saw same, The same, Interview.
What?
I Get never. I didn't want. I didn't want to get shot with a nuclear missile.
Oh God.
I having seen like that opening sequence of showing his kingdom and the wall with the bones coming over the wall, like all of those things, just I was like, okay, because I did give it 10 minutes just to be like, if they can't wow you in the first 10 with this, it probably won't take you in. And I was like, holy shit, sweeping camera, big reveals, this beautiful kingdom that he's in control. Like, just all of the things that you love about gods and humans. And
oh, yeah.
And
I was drawn into it, just like the way the comic, like, sucked me in. Like, as soon as I opened the comic, I couldn't stop till I was done.
Is it all black and white?
No, it's color.
It's color. Okay, because everything I've like all the splashes and there's like, you can tell too. I haven't read the comic. I've just seen images, but you can tell when they set up the big comic splashes like they do in Marvel, like the big one shots on the page. Mm-hmm. There's some shots that are very, I'm like, that must be from the comic, because there's no reason to hold that long and be like, hey, everybody, look, we're doing it the way the comics did it. Don't worry, we're good.
Yeah, it, like the sets you see, it looks exactly like it came out of the page, which is nice. So. I think that's why they kind of gave him the carte blanche below. Like, give us what you think it should look like, and this is what we'll make. And that's what they should, that's what network should be doing. You know, just give this guy supreme command of this project, and it's going to be a hit.
Supreme command. That should be a new title. It should be Supreme Command Executive Producer. Nothing gets past me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we were going to, because like we started it this week, and then we started another show called Keep Breathing. It's on Netflix. It's a 6-episode miniseries about a lawyer who has a change of heart in her life at some point and decides to go to Inuvik, up north, Northwest Territories. And the plane crashes in northern Canada. And
this is a survival thing, right?
Survival thing, yeah.
It's on this, my watch list or whatever.
Yeah, hey, our watch list is the same. I heard that doesn't actually exist. no two algorithms are alike. Come on now. So we saw the, you know, the little like 30-second thing that Netflix gives you just to kind of suck you in. I looked at Shauna and I was like, I like fucking heroin. It's got me. So I'm like, we need to try this. And we killed it last night, and she doesn't like killing shows, like I said, but we sat there on the deck and watched it, and it's fucking fun. It's I wish, hang on here, my phone's going to die soon, and I don't want to just run around the house looking for a charger, because we all know that when you look for one, you can never find it. Hang on here, I'll get her name. Anyways, it doesn't have a really big cast.
I mean, she's like, isn't she stranded in the wilderness?
Well, no, but what they do is they do a back and forth between why she's there, like what got her running in the first place to Inuvik, and then everything she's leaving behind, so... Melissa Barrera is her name. I haven't seen her in a lot of other stuff, but the episode titles are cool because it plays with everything that's going on. So the first one is Arrivals, so arriving at her destination of a broken plane. And then Fire and Water, the first two things she needs to survive. Then going through the hierarchy of needs. Then trying to do departures, which is leaving. And then an episode where she goes into a concussion and she's awake and dreaming. And then
where does she crash? Like what area of the world?
I'm going to say like northern BC, Alberta into the Northwest Territories.
Is there snow?
Yes, but on the mountain cap, like on the caps of the mountains, not in like
she's probably hitting us like during the fall or spring, summer.
Yeah, very much so. Beautiful drone shots. They give you a really good idea of the landscape she's trying to traverse. But what ends up happening is the plane ride isn't chartered, and nobody knows it left or would be arriving. So
how does that work? Don't you have to file a flight plan?
You do, and that's part of the story.
Or is this an illegal plane?
There might be some laws being broken.
Is she using some coyotes?
I would say OxyContin is involved, and an illegal drug trafficking ring is what she gets caught into. So that's how she ends up where she is. And then you find out why she was headed there in the first place. And it's really interesting because there's lessons of self-doubt and, you know, trying to find the inner human spirit and push it as far as you can. But she's great because what they do in the show, which is really nice, is normally like, the dude has got all the control, but in her relationship with her dad and with her boyfriend and everything that's driving her back home, she's the one who's like, fuck around and find out, right? She's not the lesser than that normally Hollywood writes. So she's mouthy, she's a drunk, she's angry, she's smart, she's adversarial, like she's all these fun things. And then you get to see them all kind of strum out through, okay, all the things that she's good at in her real life, she's getting put up against in nature now. So like if you want a quick and they're like 35 40 minute episodes.
That's not too bad. So there's no season 2.
There's no season 2. It ends beautifully. You're rooting for her, like big cliff shots, like there's everything that we would all suffer, like you and me if we were lost in the wilderness, we'd walk in circles, you know, we would fucking stab ourselves with tree branches or some dumb shit like that, or I don't know. You survived Shambhala, so
no, I'm good. I'm an outdoorsman now. Yeah. I consider myself an outdoorsman.
Pina colada, cocaine, and Shambhala. Now I'm an outdoorsman.
I'm an outdoorsman. I can run for chop wood for days.
Anyways, so yeah, I would give like not epically amazing, but fun, entertaining, a different take on the Lost in the Wild series, which I'm into because I've been watching Yellow Jackets and the Wilds. Like both of those are. I'm really into women being lost on islands right now. I have no idea how I ended up on that.
That's
genre.
That's a weird fetish.
That is a weird fetish. And while watching it with your partner.
I think you're watching too much Survivor.
Probably. Probably. You know, and then we let it bleed into our lives by doing an entire two-part episode to it. So who knows? Maybe I've got a new fetish of watching people slowly. You know why? I definitely do. Because I have to say this before we don't mention it. So you know I watch a lot of Alone, right?
What's Alone?
Alone is that show on the History Channel where like people who are professional survivor people, they get put to a test in the middle of the wilderness, and they have to survive with limited resources. So it's literally the best of the best in the survival world, building shelters, hunting food, everything, living off the land 100%. Anyways, this season just ended, and Juan Pablo from Pinawa, Manitoba is the winner.
Oh.
Yeah. It's all over the fucking Facebooks here, and I found him on Instagram. So, Juan, we know you're not listening to this because you prefer the sound of a fire to podcasts. But if you do trip across this at all, because we will tag you in this, dude, we'd love to talk to you because this guy, Martin, motherfucker, is so crazy. This show's been going on for like 10, 11 years now. Different iterations, different parts of the world, different challenges, different timelines. This one, the biggest thing is there is no winner until the last person is left. And you don't know when everyone else is tapping out. So, like, you and me could be the last two out there and go for another 60 days because we just have the wherewithal to do it until one of us, but we don't know the two of us are still left. That's the thing. Anyways, dude did it without a fire and fasted for over 15 days on purpose. Nobody's ever done without a fire. He just went into his blanket because he didn't want to have to burn calories that he didn't have. And he trained himself to fast. So he put on an extra 60 pounds before he went on the show, lost it all, and then fasted the last like 2.5 weeks.
Oh, Jesus.
Just stayed in his blanket so that he didn't burn calories and just had water. And then finally one day was like, okay, I'm going to break my fast and it'll be a big deal for me. And he like lit a fire on like the 15th or 16th day. He's nuts, but he's from Manitoba.
Jesus. How do you not cook? How do you eat? What did you survive on? Berries?
Yeah. You mostly survive on berries, the odd bird or like, I don't know, squirrel.
You got to cook the bird?
You do. yeah, you do. But like,
but he didn't cook it with no fire.
Yeah. He just chose not to eat because everybody else would try to go out and hunt. And they burn calories if they didn't find a thing, right? He's like, I'm not going to go bother and waste my time hunting if I know I can't. So I'll keep those calories and just fast instead. So that's how he did it. So he broke a ton of fucking records and won 500.
That's like cool. I guess a new interesting take on how to solve the problem.
It is because now other people.
Outside the box solution.
Yeah. Like with Survivor, when people change the game, it then changes the game and someone else is like, well, I could do that because he did it and I've fasted before, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, Juan Pablo, way to go, buddy. You won Survivor or fucking Alone and you're from Manitoba and you're the shit and you're 500 grand richer. So shout out from us here. Anyways, anything else before we go?
I'll buy you so many VJ's burgers. 500 grand? How many burgers can I get with that? How many daily burgers? How many daily burger chili fries can I get with that? So many.
You got any honorable mentions? Any quick thoughts on anything else that people should watch or that you watched?
No, I think those are the two big ones. I've been watching a lot of anime recently, but those are the two big ones I would say that I watched recently.
Sweet. All right. Well, yeah, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Weekly watch list from us two losers over here. With that said, let's dip into the show, shall we? Let's get into the nuts and bolts, the shut up, Michael. So this week, ladies and gentlemen, there's a couple news bits that by the time you listen to them, will probably have maybe made their rounds. I don't think so, which is why I want to keep talking about this, because it'll be very interesting to take it to the wire. But first, before we do that, I thought someone mentioned this. I think you know what it was. It was like the movie feed on Reddit, and they were like, who would you make a Mount Rushmore to? Like, if you could put four people on a Mount Rushmore of a thing, not just presidents, but like the Mount Rushmore of chefs or the Mount Rushmore of cars, right? Like, who would you set in stone? Because I think you agree, Martin, setting something in stone is fairly permanent.
It is. Comet hits it, maybe not, but it's pretty permanent to carve something out of a stone object. Yeah, like, I mean, wasn't Michelangelo, did he work with stone a lot too? Not just the Sistine Chapel, he did a lot of stone work.
He did David, he did that
marble.
Big marble. That big marble dick marble. We've all seen.
Yeah.
So I thought, wouldn't it be fun to start something like this on the show and randomly do it, because we never do the same thing twice as much as possible. And pick two each of who we think should be on our sci-fi character. Our sci-fi character, Mount Rushmore. So, Martin, I want you to go first, because that will base how I go next. And I've got a couple honorable mentions, and I've got a couple...
I'm going Darth Vader, Michael, first pick. First pick, I'm going Darth Vader. If you're talking about influential characters in sci-fi, definitely Darth Vader. I'm picking that right away. I'm not even going to let you finish your sentence. That is my first pick, because, I mean, he's not only one of the... He's one of the best villains in general in any genre.
Yes, like, yes.
He's, how do you not put him as theirs and Mount Rushmore? Like, he's the godfather of sci-fi badness. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and he keeps getting badder. That's the thing. You'd think it for a guy who was introduced in the late 70s wouldn't have as much staying power.
Just ordered a new graphic novel. I'm waiting for it to come in. And it's about Darth Vader between episode 3 and episode 4. So basically it basically shows you how genocidal Darth Vader was between episode 3 and 4. That's the graphic. That's the new series I'm starting. I just picked up volume 1. I'm going to read it. It's called Star Wars. I think it's called Star Wars Darth Vader. I think that's what it's called. Or Star Wars, and then it's just Vader. And it's just about him being like the biggest dick, just killing people. Because he was pretty brutal in Obi-Wan. Like, he was a little bit brutal in Obi-Wan.
He was super brutal.
He killed a kid.
He killed more than one kid. He dragged Obi-Wan through fire. He pulled a ship out of the sky only to find that was a bait and switch. But still, very fucking cool. Everybody talks about the guy. Rob's fucking daughter is obsessed with him.
Oh, yeah. He's iconic. Like, if you think Star Wars, everyone most likely goes Darth Vader. Like, that's what most associated with, because he's such a crazy good villain.
And to not put him up there, because it is, you know, space swords and, you know, a space western and a space samurai show. Like, it encompasses so many things. It complements so many things. It took from so many things. Yeah, it would just be straight up. You need a big heavy hitter. I feel he's like a Lincoln, right?
Yes, Lincoln's on it, right? Lincoln, except for... He probably genocided everybody instead of freeing them.
Yeah, that's the only
opposite
difference
of Lincoln.
Oh, shit. And, like, yeah, you know what? He's been getting such a resurgence of badness. Like I said, he started in 79, and it's 2022, and he's still a bad guy. He's still relevant, right?
Okay. I don't think we've seen the half last of the bad shit he's done.
No, we haven't. Everybody's talking about it.
I think it might be too brutal to put on screen. You probably just see it in graphic novels and comic books.
Yeah, no, I firmly agree. And now that we have all of that shit at Disney's disposal, eventually those who've read nothing but the other source material universe stuff that, like, I'm sure you read and a lot of other, I never read it, but because I just didn't care enough. I was like, I want my story. But there's so much out there that you could put into it. Okay, yeah, I agree. Yeah, okay.
Come on now. He's George Washington of the fucking Rushmore. He's number one. He's number one. Get him up there.
When I think sci-fi, I think I think artificial intelligence. I think human control over robots that unfortunately turns the wrong way at the wrong time. So
Darth Vader.
My pick, the second pick of this, I believe should be the Terminator.
Hey, I can't say no to that. I mean, it's a good pick. Who doesn't love I'll Be Back?
It's not.
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle. I mean, it's Arnold. I mean, I was going to say something with the Terminator, but I was like, I don't know if I'm going to. I might use the term. I was going to use the Terminator for something else, a different character, but yeah, for sure.
Follow me for a second here. Relevance of what happens in movie life is now eventually happening in real life. Like, machines are taking over, not in the way that, you know, the T-1000 and the T-800 work, but in the way that phones are taking over and artificial intelligence is taking over and all that shit is eventually, you know, getting closer to the whole plot of Terminator, which is when will the machines that we've given all the power to eventually take over and we're, they're our masters.
Skynet.
Right?
Skynet.
Skynet. Exactly. So in the world of sci-fi, nothing has, in my opinion, gone from the screen and become more relevant in our real lives, which you kind of owe that to everything that Arnie is, right? Like he eventually became an emotional machine. He attached himself to his family and to everyone around him. Like he eventually turned the tide. So to look at how AI and machine learning and robotics and human technology and all the Westworld shit that's going on right now, that's the other thing I've been watching. I think we should put Arnie up on that fucking wall. What do you think?
I mean, you can't go wrong with a James Cameron character, you know?
No.
You're not putting Arnie up there. You're putting James Cameron.
That's true. He would say that. That arrogant fuck, he'd be like, well, that's just me through Arnie.
But that's what it is. Like, he's what a great character that was created. I agree. Terminator's good. I don't really have any arguments against it because I like the pick. Did it have other ones? Yes, but I mean, it's good to... I guess we have two villains on there. Well, I guess he's kind of good as well, too, right? He switches. He does a 180.
He does.
Second one onwards. So he's a good guy.
And then remembers everybody. Even he's a new version. He's been re-uploaded into a new Terminator, and he still can't forget where he came from. So like, yeah, you have a villain.
I don't know what that meant, Mike. I have no idea. What do you mean? Forget where he came from? He came from Skynet. They captured him, reprogrammed him. That's what he is.
No, but when he sees what's his face, Furlong's character,
John Connor.
When he sees John Connor for the first time, again, how many movies later, he doesn't forget John Connor. Like John Connor's got a special spot in his heart, man.
And no,
like,
John Connor's got to reteach him over and over again. That was the big thing with.
But he remembers, is what I'm saying.
He doesn't remember. What was the guy's name? He had the ability to learn. He didn't remember.
Okay.
But he always had to reteach him. That was what's that guy? Nick Stahl.
Nick
that
Stahl.
Was the whole thing with the Nick Stahl. I was like, I got to teach you everything over again?
Oh, well,
that's what he had to do, remember?
Yeah, but he was giving him such a hard time about not remember. Okay, not everybody remembers somebody's name the first time they see them after a long time. Let's cut him some slack here.
they programmed him. They know who he is. John Connor reprogrammed, so he's going to remember the John Connor name. But I agree. I'm not disagreeing that he shouldn't be on there. I was weirded out by that statement. Like, back where he came from? What does that mean? But anyways, I like the pick.
All right. You get third. I'll kill it with the last, which I have a feeling I might upset the whole thing here because I'm going to go to break to TV. But what's your second pick? Because we only got room for four.
Going for sci-fi women.
Yeah.
I'm going Sigourney Weaver. I got to go Ellen Ripley.
Ellen fucking Ripley.
As just game changer. Also, partly a James Cameron movie.
yep.
And right? Also a James Cameron. And also Ridley Scott as well.
So yes.
Both versions of Ellen Ripley are acceptable to be put on that mountain because they're both great performances.
She's a leader, right? As a character. She doesn't fuck around. Put her down, you bitch, right? Super famous line, which I'm sure I'm botching. Can't get rid of her. Keeps getting cloned. Keeps coming back. Won't say die.
Yep.
What else?
She's the protagonist. She's one of the first female... leads in a sci-fi movie, I would think, or just in movies in general where it's mostly male leads. She was like one of the first female action leads.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to 78 or 79. I think 79 is the first one, is it not? Like, it doesn't break the 80s. It's still...
I think 79 or something like that. No, yeah. Maybe it did 80s. I'll check really quickly while you...
Yeah, no, you're right, man, with the, like, and like an entire crew of men. She's one of two women. Who eventually is the only woman who then leads the whole story. Super just, yeah, like if Ellen Ripley showed up to save me, I'd be like, put me in your arms. Let's get the fuck out of here, right? I don't want to deal with the xenomorph anymore.
79.
Wow, I was fucking right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. It happens sometimes. Yep, no, Ellen Ripley does. Okay, so will we put her on the wall in the yellow mechanical suit, or like how would we pose her?
I don't know if she would be in the yellow mechanical suit, but are we just doing heads? Is that what we're doing? We're
yeah.
Just doing
heads, okay. Right? Yeah. So do we give her curly hair? Do we give her shaved head? Does she get a basketball? Like, what's the pose?
I think I'd like that face that she had in Alien 2 when she was like carrying Newt, and you see her just looking at all the eggs.
Yeah.
You know that face that you have the flamethrower and the gun combo?
Yes.
That facial expression is what I want on Mount Rushmore.
All right. And then, what do you want for Darth Vader's facial expression?
Oh, he doesn't need one. It's timeless. He can put him up when he's taking a dump to where he's, meditating with the Force. It's going to look the same. It's going to look the same. It's just going to have that face helmet. I don't want, we can't have the, he's not going to be the regenerating one. He's going to have the full armor on.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. Okay. So helmet and and to the top of the chest, I guess, right? To see,
in Disney, the Star Wars things, you know how they have the new introductions that they show all the helmets?
Yes. Yeah.
Just that.
Okay.
That's all we're going to have. Perfect. Just that helmet.
You don't want to have the cup top from Famous Players Theaters.
Nothing. Just that helmet. Just that helmet. That's it.
Okay. Fair enough. And how do we should pose Arnie? What's Arnie doing? Does he have the coffin when he goes and gets all the weapons out of the
He's got the fucking police Ray-Ban sunglasses. That's it. That's his helmet.
Yeah.
You know the picture in Terminator 1, from the movie?
Yes.
The movie box?
Yeah.
Like that picture with him and just the shades?
Yep.
And the jacket? That's it.
The popped collar? Do we get some collar in the shot?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Whatever that was, that picture in the movie from the original box, the movie art, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Him and just the sunglasses, that's it.
God, can we order one of these somewhere? Can someone make one of these? If you're into toy design, you should make Mount Rushmores of famous characters from different movies. Just saying. Trademark 10%. Okay, I'm going to...
3D printer.
Yeah. 3D... Let's just ask my stepdad then. Let's do it. I have a Boba and I have a Yoda, squared down. So we definitely could. Oh, this has got legs. Way to go, Martin. All right. I'll close it out. I'm going to dip my toe into television for a second, and I'm going to pull one of the most brilliant minds from the sci-fi genre, someone who can balance out any situation where she's trying to solve a problem. I'm going to pick Dana Scully from X-Files.
Ooh, I didn't even think about TV.
Yeah, I know. We forget about TV.
I like that pick.
We forget about Little
Brother.
Gillian
Anderson. See, right? Got it.
Right?
Gillian Anderson. I still love Gillian Anderson. Love her in Sex Education. So
yeah,
I didn't even think about this. I'm glad you brought up X-Files because I would definitely put Gillian Anderson up there as fucking Dana Scully.
Somebody who's
she's the smart, cool, collected one. Mulder's like the bumbly kind of like a little role reversal. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like,
Mulder's not the smart, cool, collected guy. It's Gillian Anderson, Dana Scully,
and with her track record of aliens and Bigfoots and oh Jesus, what like bipod, tripod, what have you creature hasn't Dana Scully come across? It's almost ignorant to be like, yeah, okay, sure, you're in your genre and you've dealt with your problem. Like you're Battlestar Galactica, sure you're Star Trek, sure you're Star Wars. Like those things matter, but she's got a resume that's like, oh yeah, I've dealt with aliens and possessions. Right.
I totally forgot that X-Files is considered a sci-fi show because it was such a good show that I just didn't think of it as like something sci-fi related.
I agree.
It's like, wow.
You totally forget that it touched on so many different levels because it was television. Because television in the 90s too, where there's like it just so saturated with like procedural shit, that was like the first thing to kind of stand out amongst like just taking a show down a different road. Like you had The Twilight Zone and you had what was the one with Dan Aykroyd where like he would talk about like weird alien shit. Like you always had the reenactment stuff, but like it was a scripted series that I think everything you like Supernatural can pay everything to X-Files for paving the way for that kind of show.
Yeah. Like, but you know, the other one would that wouldn't count as sci-fi though. Damn it. I was gonna think Buffy now, but
Buffy,
no.
Well, vampire fantasy. Yeah.
It's more fantasy.
Yeah.
I was like, that Supernatural is more of like that type of show fantasy than I would say.
You're right.
Sci-fi.
You're right.
I would say like a Race by Wolves kind of, or Westworld.
Sure, yeah.
I can pay a lot of respect to the Mount Rushmores we have here. Because like Darth Vader is definitely like the man in black in like William in Westworld, right? So he's kind of like that kind of that villain. You don't know where he stands and where he sits sometimes. And
Jillian is Princess Leia.
Yeah. I mean, it's got a lot. They have a lot to draw from. A lot of the new shows and stuff like that.
I like that.
X-Files. What X-Files would be if there's a modern day X-Files? I think there is one.
There was. They did two new seasons.
No, but I meant like if there was a show now that's doing something similar to that. I don't think there is one. I wanted to see Marvel do one, but with like Alligator Loki as the protagonist, and then somebody else, and maybe like the Randall Park's character as the FBI guy and something, do like an X-Files series like that?
Call it Mixed Nuts, just like the movie with Steve Martin. And you just bring in all the oddball, like, very limited characters in every series, and you put them into a sci-fi show. There you go.
Well, I think it's just you just go over, you have a different weird super, like the superheroes that you like, the bottom, the oddest powers, you know what I mean? Like the weird superheroes, like that's what you would have in it. The superheroes that don't get the stage time because they were just like, this is an embarrassment. This is something we did when we were high on acid.
The B heroes, the ones we
not
pitched.
Even the B, this is like the D or the F heroes.
The ones
you know what I mean?
The ones we pitched for the next Marvel series, those ones?
Yeah. Didn't we pitch that before?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those are the ones. That's what I want to see as X-Files. That Marvel version.
Hindsight, lad.
Yeah, exactly.
Go back and listen to that one, ladies and gentlemen. That one was funny. Okay, so we got it. We got four. We got Darth Vader, the Terminator, Ellen Ripley, and Gillian Anderson. Yeah. Oh fuck. Yeah. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. If you have an idea for one of these, leave us a voicemail. Head to our socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Hit the link.
I was
going to
put Rick Deckard up there.
You know what? He did make a short list for me too. Who else was on my short list? I had Luke. He was going to be my Star Wars pick. I had Spock.
I was going to put Yoda instead. Spock, Yoda.
Yeah. I had, you know, like the smart philosophical sci-fi characters. Do or do not. There is no try. You know, live long and prosper. Like they deserve to be up there only because of their ideas to better humankind.
What do we got next, Michael?
What do we got next? Well,
remember, when you're doing the new stuff, treat it as though I have no idea what you're talking about. Because my phone is doing something else and I can't look at it.
So I thought we're well-adjusted men. You know, we've known each other for, how long have we known each other now? Like 15 years at least, right?
I think so.
We're
I
both
know.
40.
I can't count.
We met each other in our mid-20s. And for those that don't know, because we've never done one by ourselves before, we met in our mid-20s. We were bartenders at the time, and we caused a lot of shit and a lot of fun and a lot of craziness together. And then now we're more well-adjusted. And the point of this is that, but at one point, we weren't, and we had mad crushes on TV and movie characters.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it's fun to be like, okay, so who you are now, do you think you'd stand a chance with the character themselves? Not so much the person who played the character. So I'll go first. Here's my example, right? So as a kid, there was a lot of lovely women on television for me to crush on.
We're just picking TV, right? That's what you said. You said TV.
Yeah. We can do whatever you want.
Let's stick with TV. Let's stick with TV.
Fair enough. Got to give TV some love. So, on TV, there were a few shows that had me chubbing now and again. And one who I really just like thoroughly loved and wanted to just like have a relationship with was Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Oh, that was one of mine too.
Right?
Yeah. Like, because that came out when you were 10.
Yeah.
I think
90s for sure. 90s.
And then they were like around our age, I believe, or if not.
We
grew up in the show, and then we're in high school, and we were in high school.
Yeah,
I think
we were relatively close to each other. The show in our age, and it was you were traveling through time, so it wasn't like you knew that they were out of bounds for, you know, that it was illegal or they were too old for you. It was like no, you kind of I got along with Corey and Topanga and the fucking teacher's name we never remember, but she was just such a good girl, like a nice girl, the model that you wanted to bring home to mom and kept all those fucking boys in line, right? Like that was hotness back in the time, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I agree. Like Topanga was on my list. We're picking two, right?
Yeah, we're picking two. Yeah.
Okay. She was on, like she was up there. She was very close to number two or one up being one of my top two, but I got two other ones that I'm like, no, I'm picking these two for sure. Like, this is it. But for sure, Topanga, like, it was just, like I said, we grew up with the show and then growing up, seeing them grow up as well. So getting into those puberty feelings, like, what
right?
is this feeling right now?
Right. That's what I mean about the chubbin. Like, I was chubbing for someone my age on TV as a character. And I was like, where's my Topanga in real life? And that did not come to way later. But yeah, and it was just an innocence thing. I
kind of think of myself more as a Mr. Feeny character.
That's it. Thank you. But yeah, you couldn't get in trouble. She wasn't the bad girl, right? She wasn't.
No, she was the smart girl.
She was the head
of the class.
Yeah, and then as she like went on into high school, and then her and Corey hooked up, and then they went on to college, and I think it was Boy Meets Life they tried to do, which didn't have the same hit appeal, I guess.
Sorry, Fred Savage.
Yeah, no. Ooh, yeah, he's in trouble. It just didn't have any of the
naughtiness. No, the Boy Meets World, that was definitely in there, for sure. Yeah. Like, that's an easy one. We're just like, all right. Like, you've got a pretty similar list, I think. I'm surprised. I will be surprised if we don't have any cross-pollination, as they would say.
I picked one, and I'm like, I wonder if... My next one's got three names. Does one of yours have three names?
Yes, and I'm going to... That's what I'm...
Okay, what are you going to say?
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Ah! She's on my list too.
Kelly Kapowski. That's who I'm picking. Kelly Kapowski. I don't know. Like, I was in puberty when this was happening. I'm just like, what is going on in my pants?
Yeah.
They were a lot older than us too. They were seniors. And then I think I was only like in grade 9 when this show was out, or grade 8 maybe.
Yep.
I'm just like, why am I having these feelings in my pants?
Was it after school for you, or was it?
Definitely after school. It was something after school, go on, put it on. I'm like, oh, they're at Max. That's awesome.
Yeah. See, I masturbated on Saturday mornings when it was on.
See, Saved by the Bell wasn't like, the first few seasons weren't that great. Or maybe it was the first season, but it didn't get good until they got like Tiffany Amber Thiessen on the show. That's the Saved by the Bell I know. You had like Jesse Spano. You had
Lisa Turtle.
Lisa Turtle. Yeah. Screech.
Yeah.
AC Slater.
What's like, up, Preppy?
What does AC stand for? Air conditioning.
Yeah. No, she was. Oh, excuse me. She embodied.
She was great. Like, I for sure was in puberty at that time. So I was like, definitely fantasizing and stuff like that, and all the dreams were definitely Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
They were wet and full of cheerleaders.
Yeah, and I think they did. I can't remember what they did, like a photo op of her. I think maybe this had to be like maybe 6 years ago, but it encountered her way, like, you know, now she was probably in her 40s then, sure. I guess, or whatever. Yep. But she still looked great back then. I was like, whoa, like this is awesome. This is Tiffany Amber. Little, you know, definitely a little thicker, which is not a bad thing, which I like, but still, like,
I love.
Beautiful.
She got a cooking show on the Food Network, and that's where I found her, and her husband was friends with, like, she had AC Slater on, so she had Mario Lopez on.
Mario Lopez.
Right. She had Mario on, not AC, but, like, she would bring back some of the cast to the show and, like, cook them a meal and stuff. But, yeah, like, all these women, when I looked at this list, I was like, you still got it. I still got it for you. You know, like, and but it's like a caught in time, like the Kelly Kapowski that I know is like in like tie dye and like pink shorts, right? And like big stupid hair, which, don't get me wrong, I'm sure if she walked across in character, I'd probably be like, hello, nurse. Yeah. But, you know, whatever. We're dudes, right? She was definitely on my list. Kapow! Kapowski, right? And like,
what was your favorite moment of Kelly Kapowski?
I do you remember when they went to the beach house season stuff? Like when they
left? That was like the whole season when they were on the summer vacation.
Yeah, and Leah Remini was Zach's love interest, but then Kelly came back. I loved when Kelly did a show up again, like after they went their separate ways, and it was like, oh, the old love comes back. I'm such a sucker for that, where it, like, it drums up all this old drama and it feels like a fucking movie, right? You're like, dun dun dun. So those moments, the breakup with her and Zach, like where they actually fully called it off, that was super rough. Saved by the Bell moments in general, Jesse doing drugs, Lisa doing drugs. Like, a lot of them did drugs, actually, and it was all for better grades.
I mean, they were in the valley.
They were in the valley.
So you're like, come on now. They were in the valley. These are the rich 1%. You tell me they're not on some drugs down there. They do Saved by the Bell now. It's pretty much going to be the movie or the TV show Euphoria.
Yeah,
that's what Saved by the Bell is now.
I'm
not caught up yet, but don't say anything.
They tried to do it. It's on Stack TV, and I think Zach Morris is like a senator now, which makes so much fucking sense.
Yeah, and he's His dad bought his way through college. Come
yeah,
on.
Exactly. Yeah. But Mr. Belding got paid for having Zach in school, for fuck's sakes. What was your favorite Kelly moment? You got anything that sticks out, or is everything...
I would say the for sure you mentioned it, the breakup with her and Zach, because at that time I was yelling at my TV like, no, I'll take care of you. I'll never be your boyfriend. And I was like, this fucking grade 9 kid with probably a similar voice and similar build just yelling at my TV.
Don't leave, Zach.
I was like, no.
Regret
don't
nothing.
Don't be stupid, Zach. Don't be stupid.
Don't fuck this up.
You're never going to find anyone better.
Yeah.
And you won't. Like, how do you beat Kelly Kapowski? Like, she's the hottest Polish woman I've ever seen on TV. I don't know if there's a lot of Polish women, but there's that was for sure. Polish,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, Kapowski, ski? Polish? A ski at the end? Yeah. There's Polish, yeah. German, Ukraine, something. Something's in there.
Ukrainian. She was definitely gorgeous. Eastern. She was amazing.
Eastern Bloc Kelly.
She was like the, not really. She was like the Marianne of Saved by the Bell, because there really was no Ginger, but she was like kind of like that girl next door.
Yeah.
You know, apple pie. That's what I think of Kelly Kapowski. Girl next door, apple pie.
Yes, very much so. Yes. Yeah, still.
Very American, like the American typical girl next door, but hot, like extremely hot.
I bet you could find her in a big poofy jacket. That's the American flag somewhere. Like, that's all American. That's total apple pie, cheddar cheese, big flag.
Yeah, she's the girl next door. She's great.
Okay, so she was my second. So I'll give you my honorable mention, which was so close to it. But the Pink Power Ranger herself, Amy Jo Johnson.
Oh, wow. I was not a big Power Rangers fan, so I definitely don't know how to relate to that one. I mean, they were I didn't watch it.
Relate the same way you did to Kelly.
It was just really, she's an attractive woman, but I just never liked the show. But yeah, I get it.
I just,
especially like, I mean, you're a kid. When did that come out? High school? That was,
yeah.
You were in high school when that came out. So that was a bit too older, like too young for me. I think.
Oh, okay.
It was too young. And
I'm better than this shit.
Yeah.
I still watch cartoons when I'm 40, but I'm better than
this. Dude, when my 5-year-old nephew is watching the same thing, I'm like, I gotta go. You know what I mean? Like,
I get it.
This is past my time. But I get it. She's the Pink Power Ranger, attractive lady.
She, I was on a trajectory for a brown belt in Taekwondo at the time. So martial arts was like a big thing, and watching Power Rangers, like, it blended the nerdy and the hot girl at the same time, where it was like,
there were a lot of high kicks.
Yeah. A lot of the big kicks, the stupid moves, I've always liked a domineering woman. So like, I like, I appreciated a woman who could handle herself in a situation where she had to Red Dragon Thunder's order way out of it. So, and you know, you get the reveal, right? The mask off the first time. Like, we can't say that about Darth Vader, 'cause not a pretty man, not his problem, but whatever. A lot of battles. But when she took her mask off the first time and you see her, you're like, oh, mama, right? Like, it was right time, right place, right hormone.
I agree. I mean, she, like I said, I don't watch the show, but she is a very, I was just going to say it, very attractive lady. I'm not mad at your pick. Just the show wasn't for me, but not mad at your pick either. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I could contribute to that. I'm not mad at it, but
I got nothing but love for you. I ain't mad at you.
Wasn't into that show. This wasn't part of my childhood. I just never watched it.
I figured you would be into it because the comic books were there and like your love of anime. Like, it's very.
Oh, but I was watching like legit.
Oh, okay.
Crazy good anime at the time.
Okay.
Like,
right.
Way more hyper violent than what the Power Rangers was. Like,
that's true.
Like, yeah. Samurai shit, you'd see like the Tarantino blood. Like, that's what I was watching.
Oh, okay.
Like, when
all
I was
right.
in grade 8, so I was like, yeah, no, I'm watching this stuff.
What's there's the one where the ninja has to go into the trees and there's a Ninja woman.
Troll.
Yeah, that's it. That was my first anime. And I think it's that was that was a lot of people's first anime, I think. Is that safe?
Because it came out on like Cartoon Network and shit like that. So you could watch it on North American TV. It was dubbed over, English dubbed over, so you'd have to read subtitles.
Yeah. And it was a good story too. Like, it was violent.
No, it's a great anime. Like, it's
and
good
I think,
story, very violent, great animation.
I think that's that, like, if someone
slight
was like
nudity.
Slight nudity. There's that one awkward scene with the guy made out of rocks. Who just like manhandles that woman, and I'm like, oh man, you've got something bad coming. And then she kisses him, kills him, and it's fucking awesome. But yeah, no, that was my first, like cartoon boob, I think too. Like, I'd never seen boobs naked on cartoons before. which
that was definitely not my first or my last cartoon boob.
It will not be my last. do you have any more crushes on your
Yeah,
list?
I got my second pick because I knew I don't think
you knew this was gonna happen.
But,
yeah.
I'm going with Winnie Cooper from The Wonder Years.
Oh, she's on mine too. She's at the top of my list, and I'm like, sorry, Winnie.
That's
gotta
it. That's it. That's it. Yeah. I mean, I think that's because I liked it because I watched her when I was a child. This is before I hit puberty, so I was like, I was like, what are these feelings? And I don't know what they mean, but I like them. And she was great. Like, she was great, and I used to watch Wonder Years all the time. And oh, great show. And Winnie Cooper, come on.
Ron Howard did the narration, correct? Is
yeah,
that
I
right?
Believe it was
yeah,
him.
I believe
yeah.
it was Ron Howard. Yeah, speaking of Winnie Cooper. Yeah, wasn't she also in? No, I'm confusing her with the red bathing suit girl from Phoebe Cates. Thank you. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Both pretty brunettes from the same era. Give me a break in the comment section. Winnie was like it again, very Topanga, very innocent relationship, very boyhood feelings are coming on. What's going on with my life? What's going on in my pants? All that shit. But that was a family show, which made it okay, I think. Right?
Yeah.
Like you.
It was definitely a family show. It was like one of the first like sitcom, not a sitcom, but it was just like a drama.
Did it ever really break into serious stuff? Like, was there ever any like?
Oh yeah, they touched on a lot of serious stuff. Like the whole Vietnam War was going on,
that's
so
right.
they touched
okay.
on that a lot. The daughter was protesting, and
that's
I think the son
right.
was going to get drafted, I think, or whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
At one time,
right.
her neighbors got drafted, but the daughter was a huge protester. So lots of serious topics during that time.
I think I just liked it for Savage's character and his buddy with the glasses, who's like a real life Milhouse.
Oh, Paul.
Paul. Paul. Yeah, and when Paul fell in love with Winnie, and then it was a thing between him and.
Yep.
Fuck. Oh my God, those are the days. That was an after school. I remember it was after school with crackers and cheese and apricot juice. Apricot.
Yep.
Apricot.
I watched that when I was like a legit child.
Right,
so.
And then like raccoons would come on after, I think.
And remember, I don't remember anymore. Long time ago.
Man, we are into really good women.
Yeah, they're good leading women. Like,
they
good,
are
good roles.
I mean, there's a litany. I'm glad that we had our younger crushes during a time when Hollywood and entertainment wasn't so hypersexualized. Like watching the Trainwreck documentary on Woodstock on Netflix, you yeah. just see that like that watermark of the 90s bleeding into the 2000s and how disgusting everything was and how everything became so sexual. Like we still had wholesome fucking characters that you could crush on that weren't just like sex objects, I guess.
I'm not shaming anybody here. I'm just whatever it is, it's good. I don't care. As long as everyone's no one's getting hurt. Everyone's doing their thing. I'm okay with it.
All right. So aside from our childhood boners and how they came to be, there was some stuff that made it to the news recently that I feel I want to talk about with you. I want to talk about anybody. I just want to talk about it.
Once again, Mike, pretend like I know nothing.
Oh, that's why I'm fucking pulling the yarn here. So recently, a purchase of a legacy studio, not just any studio, but a legacy studio. Warner Brothers was purchased by Discovery Plus is the story. Have you been reading? Have you heard anything about this?
So Discovery Plus bought Warner Brothers.
Yes. After
how
Warner...
does Discovery Plus have that much money? Like, who owns that company?
Well, it's publicly traded, right? So,
but how do you have enough to buy Warner Brothers?
Well, this is what I've been reading, and hey, if you know something different, that's what the voicemail thing is for—to correct us and let us know. And we don't know exactly, but I want to say. That
you think Discovery is the one who invented flavored cocaine? Maybe that's that
yeah, the patent got released at
Michael Pina Colada, mango flavor, and what was the other one? It wasn't mango, pineapple.
Yeah,
pineapple.
I dude,
pineapple, pina colada, and mango flavored
might break sobriety. That doesn't sound like a bad idea. Not,
I mean, I don't know when they're gonna get in Winnipeg, but it's the first time I've heard of it. I'm like, this is amazing. So, I don't know.
Discovery makes money. This guy named David Zaslav, I think is how you pronounce his name, was the CEO of Discovery Plus. He's responsible for Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe, The Deadliest Catch, all that stuff, right? Mm. And silently over the years, reality television, I guess, is a moneymaker for streaming and for network because people love it. It's easy watching. It's always on in the background. You can add up in front of it and behind it all day long, right? It's a business idea. So he's now coming over to Warner Brothers. And the big thing, I mean, you can get, we'll get into the nitty gritty of it, but the story of how it all happened was he came over and all of a sudden out of nowhere last, like a week and a half ago, Batgirl got canceled completely, pretty much finished. $90 million movie, just never going to see the light of day.
Was it, what, like, after, like, I have a question about
that. Yeah, go ahead.
Are we going to get into it later?
Let me pitch it and then you can, I'll get in two more things. And then
I want to talk about Batgirl.
So Batgirl is done. And then Scoob, which took 4 years, a new Scooby-Doo animated film, which just needed the soundtrack, I believe, also shelved. So 4 years of animation work that nobody will ever get to showcase. We'll never see the light of day. Probably be a tax write-off. So he's come in, and he's disrupted the Warner Brothers process. Hamada, I think Daniel Hamada is his name, VP at Warner Brothers, super upset, almost walked. The fans, super upset, like, what the fuck, not even for streaming. The makers, the creatives, all super upset because that's how they get another job. So just we'll start there with what I've told you. Like, honestly, truthfully, like, if they don't think it's a good business decision, why release it? Or, like, what the fuck are you stirring up so much shit with such beloved characters?
I guess these?
Yeah.
I don't want to wait for you to sneeze.
No, I'm not. Sorry.
You looked like you were going to sneeze. Like you looked like you were going to sneeze. And no. I'm like, are you going to sneeze?
No, that's
are
just how I that's just how I stop asking a question now.
Oh, you stop talking when you're about, it looks like you're about to sneeze. That's when I can, that's when I know you're done.
No, dude, no.
It looked legit. Like, I thought, is he going to sneeze? Is I stop?
No. Okay, so first of all, how do you feel about Batgirl? That's the worst part of it.
Here's my thing. It sucks for all the people involved in it, you know? But was it going to be terrible? I don't know. Do you know if it was, did it look like it was going to be terrible?
They said they
get the movie, right?
Yeah.
The movie?
They said they test scored it and it did as bad as something else did. And they just weren't willing to risk it, but they said
do you know what that bad was? Cause it's very important. If it's as bad as the original Justice League movie that we didn't cut, then I'd be like, you fucking don't release that.
I think you might be right about that, actually.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. But it wasn't supposed to go to theaters. I believe it was supposed to go straight to streaming. And to
like
not
HBO Max or something?
Yeah, HBO Max, for sure. Okay. So to not even let that happen, where, like, I'm paying to see it monthly.
Is it already done, edited and stuff like that? Is everything done or no?
It's picture locked. I know that much, which means whatever they want you to see.
Why don't they just release that? Like they did a Whedon cut.
I don't. I honestly think that this Zaslav guy, from what I've read, and don't quote me on it, but these are just some of the this is a Hollywood Reporter, this is Variety, this is Deadline. They all say he's about business. He's threatened the relationship that the studio has with Clint Eastwood. That's a 50-year relationship. He's like, that fucking geriatric fucking getting no more money. His words, not mine. Not even his, probably.
I'm just going to say, just chill out, Clint. Retire.
Like, you know, yeah, I know. Right? That's a whole other kettle.
Like, his speech at the Oscars that one year was like, dude, just.
Yeah.
You did great. You had a great career.
Go out on high note.
Yeah, just. Anyways, that's beside the point.
He's just coming in and he's seeing where things are not worth the gamble unless they're guaranteed to pay off. And what he knows pays off is catching fish off the coast of Alaska or sending a dude into an outhouse to clean it. Like, he's seen that work. He's not a feature film guy. He's not a universe guy. But at the same time, he's also said, I want a Kevin Feige for the DC universe.
See, that's what, I mean, if that's what it takes to shake up that Warner Brothers household. I mean, they've released so much dog shit superhero movies in the last few years that, I mean, the ones that work, they don't build upon it. You know what I mean? Like, Shazam was great. That was a good fucking DC movie. The Batman, I mean, I had my doubts, but that was a good one for casting. That was great.
I agree with you, man. I mean, if this is going, if this,
like, I didn't even finish the new Wonder Woman movie. I cut it like halfway through. I'm like, I'm done.
I gave it all my eyes, but I didn't want to.
But the Snyder Cut, if we can get to see that version, right? I'm down.
Yeah. And that's what this guy, it kind of seems, might be doing. This is the short-term pains. And, I mean, these were leaked. I don't think Warner Brothers wants everybody to know that they're chopping this stuff. But eventually it's like, you did all this media for Batgirl. You've got Michael Keaton in the, you've got him back in the suit for it. Like, it was supposed to bleed into the Flash universe with Flashpoint. Like, it's, these are things that they were trying, and Walter Hamada came on after, I believe, well, it's Walter Hamada. That's it. He came on after the Justice League debacle with the Whedon cut, and he's been trying to turn it around with The Rock's new movie. Name eludes me right now. Black Adam.
Black Adam.
Yeah. So he's agreed to stay on until the end of Black Adam because he's a huge proponent of The Rock and wants to see that do well. And who knows what? Who, like, we've seen Hawkman in Black Adam's trailer. Like, the shakeup has to be worth the squeeze. If it is, and it creates a better DC universe, you and me are both for that. Agree?
Yeah, that's okay. That's my exact thought.
Yeah,
if it creates a better DC universe, I'm in.
Now, this is the ugly side of movies. If they use it as a tax write-off, then they get to get some of their money back, right? Mm-hmm. So when you claim a movie as a tax write-off, or anything as a tax write-off in the entertainment industry, from my understanding, is that it can never be seen after, because you got paid, like, you didn't have to pay taxes on it, which means you didn't get to sell it, show it, make money on it. So why are you making money on it now after we've paid you the taxes, you, right? Like, you can see where it's going. So anyways, If it goes that way, it'll never be seen. So maybe, like it just, I don't understand.
How much money do they get back?
Well, I don't know what you get on $90 million, but that's its budget. Which then leads into, like, the stuff that's like Ezra Miller's fucking world tour that he's on right now, where he's
promoting,
like,
the Flash movie,
right? He's promoting. Yeah. Did you just say he's promoting the Flash movie?
Yeah, he's in a cross country tour. Flash.
Yeah, he's getting in and out as fast as he can to break the fucking law and do dumb shit. Yeah. Like, how do you, now they're talking about that might be off the table if he's not willing to give up the red suit and maybe get recasted. Like, they've done reshoots for it. They're out there, and they've got enough to do it. I don't know. Like, do you even bother if $90 million is that easy and you can get a tax write off? Do you can $200 million Flash movie?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't know. Is it going to be good? I have no idea how good it's going to be.
It's, like, got it's three Flashes and a Batman.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I can. I want to see it, but I also, if it's, like, going to be a, like, here's the thing. Warner Brothers with DC is, like, they've gotten my hopes up so many times that whenever I get an ounce of hope, I feel like they just kick me in the dick all the time.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know what, I don't even, if they don't release it, I will be upset, but I'm not saying it'd be the end of the world. You know what I mean?
It isn't the end of the world. And they're like, we still want you to, like, I think her name's Lucinda Williams, if I'm not mistaken.
Or if they redo it and then kind of make it more, better continuity with what's going to happen in the Snyderverse, you know, if they just start from the ground up with that, like, start at the Justice League cut, build from there.
Yeah.
The Snyder cut, build from there. If you're going to scrap movies and then release new movies with these characters and then build up that universe till you get the Feige version of it.
Yeah. And I mean, if they're looking for, like, all of the things that we want is, it's heartbreaking because we don't want to not see $90 million movie not get made, and not, like, we watch a ton of shit. So, like, we'll watch it. Might not watch it day of, but we'll watch it and we'll like it for what it is, and we'll do what we do. And I think we both want to believe that most people are like, oh, all right, meh, but whatever. But when you start doing this cut and paste and shake up shit, it eventually makes you see through the movie magic and lose faith in the whole fucking system. And then, like, watching the thing isn't as fun because you're like, oh, man, there's so much stupid shit around this, right?
Yeah. No, but I think I'm okay if it, you know, whatever it takes to build a better DC universe, I am on board with that. It sucks. But did everyone get paid at least? Everyone got paid their work wages and shit like that? And
yeah, no, everybody gets paid.
No one lost their jobs.
Well, that's, okay, here's the flip side of that. Now, Scoob, for example, here's a lovely story for you. Scoob was a four-year endeavor. Because it's an animation. So I think Batgirl being scrapped to save the DC universe is a shame. But if it does more in the long run, yes. Scoob, though, is just Scoob, a family movie, right? Parents will watch it. It'll be on in the background 200 times a day after the kids find it and like it. And they just want mom to play Scoob over and over again. And that'll get likes and that'll get attention. And that's what a streaming service wants. So to not release Scoob on streaming is heartbreaking because animators are the fucking talk of the town right now. anybody in VFX and animation to not be able to show what they've worked on and show it as part of their resume. I don't know. Disagree?
Oh, that sucks. But I mean, would they still be able to use like clips of that as roles like for their portfolio?
That's
I mean,
the thing is that when you,
and but you never watch it for sale, but you can see, you can use it as, it's not a for sale thing. You never use it to make money, but you can still use the things as
maybe
your portfolio.
Because
the animators got paid, right?
Well, yeah, everybody get like, it's a contract.
Like, how far are they in the movie? Is it basically just good? All it needs is promotion, then it's good to release, or just something edited?
I think it needs the symphony, which is the cool story. The symphony I heard that was hired, the name eludes me right now, is agreeing to do it anyway. They've been paid. They don't have to make a score. They could just be like, meh. But they're like, let's do it. Because then, you know, it's just one more piece, and it and it kind of pushes the needle in the right direction. If they can show it, then okay. If they're allowed to show, but I don't think so. I don't think a studio is going to be like, here's 20 minutes of this film to show what you've done as an animator so that you can get another job. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Maybe in this case they might. If they do, great. If they don't,
I think as long as they don't release it for profit, it's okay. And they're not really doing anything for profit for that movie. It's just you're showing it for your individual kind of future jobs.
Yeah. Like if someone sees you do a set and then
I mean, if you're working on that, like I did that Scooby-Doo movie, here's some, like in portfolios, you always have like a little clip of something or drawings that
and you're real. Yeah, exactly.
What I wrote for Scooby-Doo.
It depends on the contracts, man. Like,
I don't know.
I don't know
too much about movie law to kind of give a definite answer for that.
Yeah, I don't fucking know. I don't know enough either. I was just talking turns out of school. Tails. That said, that's about it. That's the whole thing. It's still an ongoing story because we can't figure out what is going on with Ezra because he's now been charged and arrested. He's been arrested and charged for something he did in May. I think he stole booze from somebody's house like a 16-year-old does on prom night. And now it's like the three options are don't do any press and we leave it as is. Or we change it and you do limited press, or it's completely scrapped altogether. I think those are the three options that came out just before we pressed play today. So
I think if it's the money guy, he's going to, whatever gives him the most return for his investment is what he's going to do. So
yeah.
He's probably going to get the insurance.
You're right. Like he's quoted, like doesn't make money. Right. And he's also like, I mean, these are unconfirmed things, but like, he's not a forward thinker in the business world where like, he's not about getting everybody's opinion. He's like, I want rich white dudes on my board and that's it, right? Like that kind of guy. So if it's not dollars and cents and power, old Hollywood thinking would lead me to think that. But I can't confirm nor deny that. So you didn't hear it here, kids. But that's the news that we have. Those are the subjects that we've given you, ladies and gentlemen, and that's the shit you should watch that we think was really fucking awesome. And I don't think there's any more reason to take up these lovely people's time today, is there, Mark?
No. Yeah, but we're good at an hour and a half. This is our sweet spot, so
yeah.
I'm like okay with this.
Yeah, me too. I think the people deserve some shortness from us once in a while.
There's only two of us. We can only talk so long.
I know. I agree. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There's another little ditty from the Real Debaters. It's just your two debaters, your two hosts, your two OGs today. I don't know. Let us know if you want more of us or if you want me out of the fucking picture. It's all in the voicemail, kids. You just got to ask for it and let it happen. And if you leave one, like Ronald Moore.
Give us a topic and we'll discuss it.
Our friend from the Peg City Game Show podcast. Fuck, the name eludes me. Ronald Moore, I think Jimmy told me his name was. He left us a lovely voicemail about our SNL picks and how we missed a really big fucking list of people. And if I had the episode on this computer or that voice.
Did you guys have Eddie Murphy?
We did not have Eddie Murphy.
You not have Eddie Murphy? That would have been my pick.
I know.
If I didn't have diarrhea that day.
I know.
I had diarrhea that day. I told you guys, I had stomach issues. I was like, I can't do it, guys.
I'm
on my toilet right now.
I'll play this voicemail right after this part so you can hear him give a shit. And
Eddie Murphy. How does no one pick Eddie Murphy?
I don't know how it happened. I think we were so
Bill Murray. Did you guys at least pick Bill Murray?
Bill Murray did make it to the list. Cecily Strong did.
John Belushi
was up there. Yeah. Kate McKinnon was up there. Kristen Wiig was up there.
Who did you miss? Norm Macdonald?
Yeah, Norm didn't make it.
What? the news guy? Yeah. How do you not pick Norm?
I picked, I think I picked Dennis Miller for Weekend Update.
Ew.
I don't know. If you want to know, ladies and gentlemen, go listen to the episodes. But anyways, back.
Yeah.
And,
go listen back and tell us if you agree.
Yeah.
Or give us a topic that we can discuss on one of these shows.
Yeah.
That we'll do as a warm up.
It's all in the voicemail. Social media, Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Click the link in the bio. Hit leave a voicemail.
Mike will give you a free skateboard.
I'll have Mark make you one because he made me one for my birthday. And if you pay attention to our TikTok, you'll probably see it in the background one day. Otherwise, check out the show notes for anything we're doing. Follow Martin, Jimmy.
When is this coming out?
I don't know. We never know.
Okay. I'm in Winnipeg and I'm doing a show August 26th. Is that 26?
Yeah. You know what? It'll be in the 26th? Show notes.
What's Saturday? Is it Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be doing a show at the basement speakeasy. And I think it's in like Unicity, kind of that whole
place. You're in the basement?
Yeah, I'm doing that.
Fuck yeah, next. Dude. I didn't know that's where your set was. We'll be there.
Yeah, I'm doing it on the 27th.
We love the basement.
Yeah, I'm doing a show there.
Basement.
Check out thebasement.com. You can buy tickets online for the 27th show. It's not out yet, but it will be.
We love the basement too. So if you want to sponsor the show basement, we're totally, totally down to take Ian. Take some of your money and give you such a great word and tell everybody why they should go there. I have been Michael Petro. This has been
Jimmy Skinner, absent today. I don't know. I had nothing. I smoked a little weed earlier, so I'm like kind of still high, but not
is
really.
The pina
high.
Colada, or is it the
no? I'm not doing any cocaine. Jesus Christ! Don't do that. I'll do that alone at my house.
It's not 2010 anymore.
I've never done cocaine alone, but I did smoke some weed. It was lemon berry, I think it was.
Ooh.
Has a nice, very strong citrus flavor when you open it up.
Delicious. So. Love it.
Yeah.
Have a great day, ladies and gentlemen. Watch all the movies. Bye-bye. Say bye, Martin.
Bye, Martin.
Ladies. And just like that, ladies and gentlemen, another Real Debaters production is in the can. Thank you so much for listening. If this is your first, second, third, fifth, 20th time, thank you so much. But thank you to the first timers, the ones here who pressed play for the first time and took a gamble on us. If you like what you heard today, the easiest thing to support the show is just to subscribe. Hit the like button, the follow button, whatever's in your podcast player. Make it so that we're always there every Wednesday for you, okay? That would be huge. If you want to stay in touch with us, if you want to follow us, there's a couple ways to do that. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. We're slowly migrating to YouTube by putting all of the things we've ever put on video onto that site. There's some surprises coming this year that happened a while ago, but I felt needed to be shared. Because they're part of the Debaterverse. So the YouTube page is coming. But if you want to follow us, it's at Real Debaters Pod on Twitter and Instagram. It's the Real Debaters Podcast on TikTok. All of the links, all of the one-click-away things are in the show notes that you've just listened to. So if you want to follow us there, that would be great, too. Because then you get to stay in the know of all the things that we do and what we're going to try to do this year and what we've done in the past, so on and so forth. So that's how you stay in touch with us. If you want to contact us, it's therealdebaters@gmail.com. All the spelling for all these things is R-E-E-L to keep with the title of the show. So you can send an email to us there, request an episode, want to call out one of us for being a goofball. There's places to do that as well, too. Like the Real Debaters website. You can email us or you can go straight to the website, rate us in Podchaser, therealdebaters.ca. And if you really, really liked what you heard and you want to support the show in some fashion that requires you spending money, well, we got a couple ways for you to do that as well, too. You can buy our merch at the Prop Shop. It's a store through Threadless, and it's online, and you can order stuff. We've got tons of stuff. We've got our Mass Debater wear there. It's our signature, original, and only line. It's all of our – it's our logo on everything. So you can support us that way. Go to the merch tab in the show notes. Or if you just got a buck and you're like, hey, I want to give you a buck and donate it to your cause. There is a tab in the show notes as well, too, that says donate to the Betaverse, I think. And if you click on that, it takes you to our donation page where you can donate like $1, $3, and $5. And you'll get something for your $1, $3, or $5. Any more than that's just ludicrous. Luda. So, yeah, that's just kind of what I wanted to tell you, that what I said at the end of the show. This is what you should listen to, because this is all about who we are. And now that we've gotten to where we are, we want to interact with you guys more. So these are the ways to do so. This is the way to stay in touch with us. Thank you to everybody again who's listened to the show. Again, you pressed play. You took a chance. That's cool. So without further ado, this is where I said I would talk more. So it's eggs on your face. No, I got nothing else for you. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. And watch all them fucking movies. Bye-bye.